Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Warrior calls coming up at 454-ESPN, 454-3776. It is mid-July. We're going to have, I believe, our first two teams reporting next week. And, of course, the Buffalo Bills reporting to St. John Fisher coming up in less than 2 weeks. We had him on the show last year. He's one of my favorites. He's a fantasy expert from Yahoo Fantasy. Andy Barron's joining us back on the program. Andy, how have you been?
Hey, I'm well. It's good to be back, man. Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, Andy, and it's always kind of my tradition to pick up Lindy's, and there I'm reading, and you have thoughts on Josh Allen and everything else, and I'll get to that in a second. But you know, the fun thing about fantasy, and I guess in general, it's always fluid. And yesterday we had the story about Melvin Gordon, the Chargers, and I guess it's nothing new because every year you do have a running back, and how does that impact their draft position, and you know, what does this mean in terms of danger for a soft tissue injury or something like that? But Andy, let's play this out. Who's to benefit from this Charger offense, and is there actually anybody behind Melvin Gordon should this completely go south and he's not available from the get-go? How do you make the Charger offense if it doesn't work out for Melvin Gordon at the start?
Yeah, this is such a loaded topic, right? Because I honestly, prior to last year, I wouldn't have really taken this seriously, and we'd seen almost all potential holdout situations resolve themselves. But Le'Veon doing what he did really sort of changed the calculus here. I still don't think it's not entirely clear to me that Le'Veon made a great decision, because he still chose to forego, you know, what would have been at the time basically a doubling of his career earnings. That was, you know, I don't know that I would have done that, but whatever. He still got himself paid. And if Melvin is seriously looking at that and saying that that might be the path for him, then we have, you know, a couple possible outcomes here. One of which, I guess, would be a Melvin Gordon trade, which gets kind of exciting. Like I'm in a couple leagues that already drafted. I've had my first drafts basically this week in leagues that I really care about. One of them, the Scott Fishbowl, this monstrous online thing that we all do. And another one that was a live draft in Vegas. And Melvin Gordon went in the dead center of the first round in my online draft. And he went for like over $40 in this auction league that I did live. So people are placing a lot of chips on Melvin Gordon. He's really had, in terms of efficiency, he's had kind of breakthroughs, you know, last year. He was terrific. He's basically 10, 12 touchdowns a year. Austin Eckler would be the guy who benefits most obviously from an absence. He was just tremendous in a rotational role for the Chargers last year. And then to a lesser extent, it'd be Jackson would be the kid who would pick up some of the scraps. But Austin Eckler would be the guy to really target. And it's funny, I'm in a bunch of slow-moving drafts, or I was in this slow-moving draft last week, and basically as soon as the Melvin stuff started to break, Austin Eckler was getting scooped up across the board, right? So he's the guy that you would expect to benefit the most. Obviously, it's not to the benefit of the Chargers generally, but Melvin can still salvage some value in a whole bunch of ways. And, hey, maybe the Chargers pay him. I don't root for anybody to lose money, but like I don't know what the NFL does with the running back position, because they're basically never worth as much as they are like on their first contract to a team, right? Like and teams have all sorts of incentive especially when they have a special player to use everything they like every carry that they can possibly wring out of a guy they're going to get. And then he heads into that second contract and he's got a ton of mileage, and it's tough. It's just tough. I don't know how many more Le'Veon Bell contracts we're going to see. And I don't know what the resolution for this is other than to pay the rookies more, if they're first and second round down.
Yeah, you know, some teams that are not smart will pay the running back, and I always thought that as we make fun of Jerry Jones, but he has a competitive team. But gosh, who Dak Cooper and Ezekiel Elliott, they have to make decisions at some point. I mean, is it all going to be one happy family entering training camp in Dallas, or are they all going to be in the back of their mind what's going on here?
Oh, no, everybody, you got to think that everybody's looking at everybody else thinking, like, where is the, you know, it's kind of a musical chairs game with their money, and where's the money going to land, right? Like, Zeke, to me, is one of those guys, and there may only be, honestly, there may be like 4 or 5 in the NFL at any given time where they're just obviously such a special back that as long as they're healthy, like, that really is a guy that you want to pay and that it is a guy that you want to commit to on the second contract. Like, you know, Zeke was a track star in high school. He's got special speed. He's got special vision. And he's been a bit of a roller coaster ride off the field. But on the field, he's just a marvelous player. He's like right there with Saquon, perhaps Christian McCaffrey, and just a couple others in terms of just really special ability that you can't just find on the street, right? There's a whole slice of Twitter and social media that, you know, is like running backs don't matter Twitter. But I mean, that all breaks down when we're talking about guys like Zeke and Saquon. And as long as, you know, Zeke remains healthy over the next couple of years, that's just a guy who's got to get paid.
Andy Behrens, Yahoo Fantasy, other publications, joining us here in the sports bar. You brought up Le'Veon. I'm having a tough time wrapping my mind around what to think of him this year, because I know what he was in Pittsburgh. I know that he's coming a year off, and that's unusual when you're healthy in a year off. And I know I'll say I'm not a fan of Adam Gase, and I don't think he's a fan of Le'Veon Bell. So how do you rectify all of that, Andy?
Yeah, this is really a rough one. I mean, I think you talk about like just a perfect match of player and offensive line and team style. Like, that was Le'Veon in Pittsburgh. You know, he had a really unique running style, has a really unique running style, and he had the offensive line to you know, help support it. And, you know, the quarterback and the passing game around him, the explosive offense, you know, the sort of team environment where, you know, you're gonna stack the box against Le'Veon Bell. Okay, now you've got Juju, and you used to have Antonio Brown on the outside, right? Like, you're gonna pay if you load up to stop Le'Veon. So he was just in a perfect situation. We obviously saw James Conner just absolutely beast last year in Le'Veon's absence. And now it's an offense where, you know, defenses are gonna look at them and say, okay, if we stop this running game, let's make the second-year quarterback beat us with a group of receivers that doesn't necessarily impress us, right? Like, Robbie Anderson's good, Jameson Crowder is good, but there's no superstar in that receiving core, and Sam Darnold is still learning. So it's not the setup that he had in Pittsburgh, and so I see Le'Veon, you know, routinely being selected, not at the top half of the first round, but at the back half of the first round. And that's usually a space in fantasy drafts that's just a minefield. Like, there'll be one or two guys that pop from there, and then there'll be three of the worst busts in your draft are going to be in the back half of the first round. And I worry a lot that that's going to be Le'Veon, because we just don't see a lot of cases like this where a guy takes a full year off. And, you know, listen, I'm sure he kept in shape. I'm sure he was working out, but he wasn't playing football. And, you know, like, you can lose it in a hurry if you're not under fire and you're not, like, continuing to hone your craft at your craft. There's only so much you can do without playing football to maintain football shape and you know, vision and decision-making and all that. So I don't think that a reasonable forecast for Le'Veon looks anything like what he was doing in Pittsburgh, right? Like, he was over a full 16 games in Pittsburgh. You would have felt pretty confident that Le'Veon Bell could give you between 1,900 and 2,100 scrimmage yards, bunch of receptions, bunch of touchdowns. And I think in New York, you have to refigure the ceiling at something like 1,500, 1,600 scrimmage yards. Maybe it's 8 to 10 touchdowns. It's just like the upside is just not what it would have been with that Steelers juggernaut.
Andy Behrens from Yahoo Fantasy joining us here in the sports bar. So right down the road from us here, Andy, 12 days from now, the Buffalo Bills report. You're on the air here in the heart of Bills country. From a fantasy perspective, we've been like bystanders, right? Bills fans have been like, well, yeah, we're not going to be all that good. The Buffalo Bills you know this, last 6 weeks of the season last year had the number one fantasy quarterback. So with some money spent on the offensive line, with a few wide receivers purchased and a few extra running backs, should this not add up to something more for Josh Allen, or was that just a fluke, Andy? An incredibly divisive fantasy figure, in my opinion, Josh Allen. What do you say about Josh Allen?
Yeah, I'll say, first of all, that this would be, you know, were I a Bills fan, I would find this to be a very exciting time, because not only is my team getting better and my young quarterback showed me at least something in the, you know, final month of the season, but I'm also looking at the Patriots have clearly ruled the division for, you know, a decade plus, but, you know, Gronk is now retired or semi-retired, and Tom Brady is already at an age at which no quarterback has ever been good, right? So, like, I think I finally see the light at the end of the tunnel in terms of, like, being able to clear the Patriots. So really exciting time in the division. They've made a bunch of fun moves. I guess my couple issues that I would have with Josh Allen, you know, first of all, coming out of college, he was just by NFL standards, just not an accurate quarterback at all. And we, you know, completion percentage last year, I want to say was 52.8, something like that. He did, like, I don't need to tell anybody who's listening to this show that he sails a bunch of throws. He has massive, you know, almost superhuman arm strength, but a lot of the routine throws that get you up and down the field. And if we assume that defenses look at the Bills this year and they say, okay, we don't want Josh Allen running for 90 yards at a touchdown or two touchdowns, right? Like, we want to contain this very athletic quarterback and make him just move the chains against us. You know, that's a big thing that he's got to prove. Now, they made some additions that make you feel pretty good about that. Like, Beasley is a totally useful player. John Brown was just really well paired with Josh Allen, I think, because that's a guy who you can be like, okay, just chuck it, and John Brown will run under it. Like, I think those were some fun additions. And they now have a stable of running backs that, you know, any two guys can get hurt, and you still feel okay about whoever's starting in a given week. So I like all those things. The thing that made Josh Allen, I don't know, but like, maybe he wasn't frustrating to own last season because nobody was banking on Josh Allen as their every week starter. But if you look over the course of his year, we just don't see a lot of fantasy seasons like this where you're either a top five quarterback in any given week or you're like a bottom five quarterback. Like, Josh Allen just didn't, he's got to get to a point where like his bad weeks or his quiet weeks aren't like 4-point fantasy weeks. You know, he's got it. Like, if he could just be one of those guys where like his perfectly ordinary week happens to be like 190 yards and two touchdowns and one pick, and you're like number 16 or 17 in the weekly score, like, that's fine. And then his blow up week, because he's just not going to run for 90 yards, 100 yards every week. And that was until the final game of Buffalo's season. That was the key to his fantasy campaign, right? It was these crazy rushing totals. And that's just not going to be there every week. So you've got to be a guy who can at least put up respectable passing stats. He's at some point, he's got to sniff a 60% completion percentage. But I don't know. There's a bunch of reason for hope. I know he's ridiculously athletic. I'm not someone who puts him in my top 10 or my top 15, because I evaluate quarterbacks almost strictly on their passing ability, unless I know there's going to be a ton of designed runs for them. Like, I feel a little differently about Lamar Jackson. Maybe I feel a little differently about Kyler Murray. I don't know that there's going to be 15 designed runs for Josh Allen a game. And then I just don't know that his passing stats get me to a point where I'm comfortable with him. But I would love to see him prove me wrong. I like him. I find him immensely likable. So he's an easy guy to root for, even though I'm not a total believer in the passing skill set, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm on an island here where you could imagine everyone saying, well, in order for him to, he needs to be that pocket passer, and you've got to coach the running out of him. It's not sustainable. Andy, I don't think this is the NFL of 1995. As long as you're a quarterback that knows the rules of the road, I mean, talk about the idea of drafting a, you know, particularly as a QB2, a running quarterback. You brought up Lamar Jackson or a Kyler Murray. These are normally quarterbacks you probably wouldn't touch, but I'd like to have any one of these three guys, or maybe somebody else that might be a running quarterback.
Yeah, I actually think I don't even know what the ceiling is for Kyler Murray, because I think that guy is a pro ready passer, or as close to it as any quarterback that we saw in this year's draft class. And you like, I wouldn't make Mahomes comparisons because that was just a stupid season last year. But I mean, we're talking about a guy who rushed for an easy 1,000 yards in college, who was great as a running quarterback against Alabama. You know, like biggest spots, biggest opponents. They weren't just pure like garbage Big 12 stats, right? Like sometimes quarterbacks come out of the Big 12 and you're like, yeah, okay, you threw for 7,000 yards or whatever. It's the Big 12. They don't like defense in the Big 12 is just purely optional. But Kyler Murray really passed the test against some impressive collegiate defenses. And he's just going to run an offense that, you know, if we get the full expression of the Cliff Kingsbury offense, is going to be really fun at the NFL level. And I'm super anxious to see what it looks like, because Murray, if he really pops this year, could be 4,000 passing yards and like 750 rushing yards, right? Like this has a chance to be kind of like that Cam Newton rookie season where he basically functions as some combination of a QB2 and an RB2 and just runs away with the scoring crown in his position.
Great stuff, Andy Behrens from Yahoo Fantasy. One more Bills question here for you, because you brought up John Brown, and we have this debate, and you can make an argument for any one of the four guys, like who will lead the Buffalo Bills in reception. And from a fantasy perspective, it might be, and correct me if I'm wrong, like you don't want any of these guys, nobody's going to hog it all, but you know, Cole Beasley wasn't used properly in Dallas. We hear that argument. Zay Jones had his issues. Now you're three. We could see the development. What about Foster, who showed signs last year? But you brought up Brown, and certainly you followed Brown closer than maybe we have, going back to his days in Arizona. And I mean, did his numbers die last year with the quarterback change in Baltimore? The idea that Brown could actually be the leading receiver in Buffalo this year.
I think the most likely scenario might be that Beasley leads the team in receptions and Brown leads the team in receiving yards, and Foster is just about as good as either one of them, right? And I don't know that any of the three are going to. In fact, I wouldn't rank any of the three as every week fantasy plays. I think that John Brown is somebody who, you know, if you play in you play in leagues that are like best ball formats, where like you don't have to worry about setting a lineup each week, and you know, it just takes the best performances. I think John Brown is going to have three different games this year where it's either one or two touchdowns and it's 110 receiving yards, and he may only catch, like they'll look like the old Devery Henderson fantasy lines, right? He may only catch three or four balls, but it's going to be just a sick receiving day. And I don't think there's going to be eight of those, but I'd be shocked if there aren't two or three of them. He has a 1,000-yard season to his credit in the NFL. He's an absolute burner. And again, I think he's just so, like, I like what Buffalo did in the offseason. And I like the addition of Beasley because he gets open so quickly and he's such a good short range target. And then John Brown is just that guy where you can, you know, okay, you can throw the ball 75 yards. I can run under it. I thought that was a really smart signing. Not the best fantasy landing spot for Brown, perhaps, but I think he's going to be really fun. I think he's going to be a really fun player, and I, again, love a lot of what Buffalo did.
One of our favorites, Andy Behrens from Yahoo Fantasy and other publications. It's become a tradition for me to pick up Lindy's in the beginning, and there's just one question I got to ask Andy. You're not a fan of the PPR? Love the PPR.
God.
No, I can't sell you on that. No,
I'm old enough that I was around when PPR seemed like a great idea as a fix to the old, you know, if you've been playing fantasy for 20 years, then you know that like years ago, the first two rounds of any fantasy draft, if there were 10 teams in your league and 20 picks, there might have been 19 running backs taken, right? It was like 19 running backs and, you know, Jerry Rice. That's what your first couple of rounds looked like, and it was boring. And there were all these running backs who were going to get 300 carries. And, you know, as a way to sort of balance the positions and make the game a little bit more fun and tilt it away from whoever happened to have the number one pick, which was always Emmitt Smith, right? Like, as a way to make the game a little bit more interesting, we added receptions as a scoring category. But meanwhile, the NFL kind of fixed that problem. Like, today, we might have only like five or six guys this year who even sniff 300 touches, right? Like we're just not going to get a lot of that. And the game itself has tilted very much in favor of, and the rule changes have tilted very much in favor of quarterbacks and receivers. So, like, I feel like the game already addressed that problem. And now we're left with this separate problem where, you know, a guy can catch a pass for no gain, and it's the equivalent of a 10-yard run. And I just hate it. Like the short passing game is just not, like, we're not talking about degree of difficulty plays, and we're piling up points there. So, no, I'm not a big PPR person. I actually prefer, we offer at Yahoo, we offer first down scoring, and I greatly prefer that to PPR.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's something we've kind of just been ingrained to. And then, you know, whenever you win the fantasy championship, if you had David John, I mean, yeah, those are fake numbers. I understand that, but it is a lot of fun. Andy Behrens, Yahoo Fantasy. Tell people where they can read more of your work as we all do a little bit of homework here mid July.
Yeah, we're about midway through our fantasy team previews so far. You can just find those at Yahoo Fantasy, and you can find me on Twitter at Andy Behrens. Hey, give the Yahoo Fantasy handle a follow. The guy behind it is Matt Harmon, who is hilarious. It's been great. Just at Yahoo Fantasy.
Andy, thanks a lot for your time today, and let's do this again sometime.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks again.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.